Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Great to have you company here on Sports Day. Carl Langdon, Paul Hayes will be with you through until 8 o'clock tonight. We've got a big show. We're going to have a chat to Josh Inglis. He made a half century. His skipper, Sean Marsh, made a century today. So important to the 300 that our West Australian cricket team were able to compile. In the end, 302 all out. Tasmania, no wicket for six. Manus Labuschagne continues his very good form for Queensland. Another century he made today. Some of the headlines for car sales. Car sales number one for cars. Paul Hazelby, good evening to you.
Good evening, Carl. Great to be with you. Big night coming up. Can't wait for this Friday free for all. So make sure you get involved tonight. But the Fremantle Dockers, they got involved again today. Another assisted coach, would you believe, Carl, in Joel Corey. 276 games he played with Geelong. He's been at the Western, the Bulldogs. Justin Longmuir just slowly starting to get things his own way. And he's another good addition to the Fremantle Dockers. Plenty of trades going on today. It was free agency time. And Joe Danaher is now a Brisbane Lion. They didn't match the offer. They got pick seven as compensation, the Bombers. You'll take that for an injured Joe Danaher. Jeremy Cameron nominated, of course, Geelong. Still things to play out with Jeremy Cameron, the Giants and the Cats. Zach Williams, though, his offer wasn't matched by the Giants. He goes to Carlton, so currently they will get compensation of pick number 10. Would you believe, Carl, the salary for Zach Williams? This is a guy that finished down the track in their best and fairest. Yes, he's got some talent, but $800,000 a year over 6 years for Zach Williams. That is a big contract.
Oh, it's a massive contract. It's overs for me, Hayes. I've always felt that there are some clubs that actually administer their salary caps a hell of a lot better than others, and I think West Coast and Geelong firmly fit into that category. Trevor Nisbet and Brian Cook, who I know personally and have known for a long time, I don't think that they ever pay overs from my perspective. They like to go for players with a track record. Williams has been okay, but look, I certainly wouldn't have been throwing that sort of money around at a player like that. The first bloke to get signed, I was thinking last night, mate, when we were broadcasting, that from all reports that it was going to be Danaher, the first deal to get done, which the Bombers then got pick number seven back. But in the end, it was Rory Atkins, an unrestricted free agent from Adelaide, and he ends up going to the Gold Coast Suns for pick number 36. You look at Isaac Smith. Now, Isaac Smith's a three-time premiership player at the Hawks. He has decided to go to Geelong. He had, I believe, a two-year offer on the table at Hawthorn for more, yet he's chosen to walk away from that as an unrestricted free agent. So the Hawks have no chance of matching it, and they end up copping in return a third-round compensation pick, currently pick number 42.
3 years offered by Melbourne too. So I like his decision to go to Geelong because he's doing it for the right reasons, to win a premiership. What I don't like, though, is Geelong chasing hard for some of these guys, and Sean Higgins is another one. Now, they're not going to come cheaply. You've got to pay the money for them. And now there could be one of their stars, Sam Menegola, rumoured to be gettable by other clubs because maybe he's not feeling the love. He had a terrific season. I thought he should have been All-Australian. He was about sixth in their best and fairest, which I thought he should have probably been a bit higher as well. And now they spend money on these types of players, Carl. That wouldn't be good for Geelong if you lose a player of his age and his ilk to bring in these more senior guys. That's why you've always got to be a bit careful. I would have much rather they did the right thing by him, pay him a bit extra, rather than bring in these guys and risk losing such a good young player.
Now, we've always got an eye on the streets. Now, there's a five-car pile-up on Tonkin Highway heading south just before the T1, T2 entrance to our Perth airport. So please, if you can, avoid that area. Tonkin Highway heading south just before the T1, T2 entrance, then please stay away from there. Look, we've got 14 horses in the Derby tomorrow, and the first 14 callers that ring through right now and talk about footy, cricket, golf, tennis, whatever you like, it's a Friday free-for-all. Something that has caught your interest this week. We'd just love you to have your opinions and be heard here on 882 6BR. 922-11882 is our number. What we do know is that there was some speculation about West Australian Nathan Broad returning to Western Australia. We know that that's not going to happen because he was one of three that re-signed with the Tigers today. The WNBL broadcast deal has been announced. We spoke to one of their hierarchy last night. Foxtel, the ABC, all 60 games available on Fox Sports. Four games will be there a week. KO will stream the rest. Now, that's essentially their offshoot, and that is a wonderful deal that they've been able to do. And our Perth Scorchers women's team in the WBBL unchanged ahead of matches 3 and 4 this weekend. The Melbourne Renegades on Saturday and the Sunday Strikers on Sunday are who they take on. But we'd love to hear from you. 922-1182. It's 12 after 6. Your calls after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Now, a bloke who I love has a surname the same as mine, Zach Langdon. What's the latest news on him, Hayes?
Well, the list manager, Jason McCartney of the Giants, basically said today he will be getting back to the West Coast Eagles. We spoke about that at length a couple of nights ago. So that's good news for him. He'd fit nicely back into the West Coast Eagles team. He's going to have to work hard. He also confirmed that they're doing their due diligence on Jesse Hogan. So that was confirmed again today, Carl. Is there anything out there that could stop this from happening?
Well, let's hope the due diligence is better than the one the Dockers did. Sorry, mate. A car sells every 30 seconds on Car Sales. 922-1182 is the number. Peter in Booragoon. G'day, Pete.
G'day, fellas. Look, I'm intrigued as to how the list managers and the financial people of the club are juggling this uncertainty around salary cap and number of players they can have, and yet they're still doing deals and trades and all sorts of stuff. Are they keeping aside like 5-10 players, a couple of $1 million? How are they doing this?
I think they know. I think they've been told that it's most likely to be 38 plus 6. So that will take it to 44. So I think they're working off that. If anything changes from that, then they can make the necessary adjustments. So I think there's only probably one or two from each club that are getting held over and made to sweat on the decision of that club. So I don't think it's as bad as we make up in the media sometimes, because there has been clarity for probably the last month around those numbers I gave you.
Cool.
Happy with that? Okay, hit the shots, yours, mate. Number 6 in the Derby, $7 chance, and a really good investment, I reckon, too. Let's go to Mark in Bedford. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Vlosten Dangerfield incident last week. Now, I got no issue with Dangerfield not getting suspended, but I think it's time that we have a concussion sub. It would have been tragic if Richmond had lost that game, playing basically the entire game a man short. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, look, I think that we're fraught with danger in this scenario, in that I'm hoping that clubs don't take advantage of it when, you know, like, we've got a situation now where we've got concussion that is really strongly administered. Doctors are very, very much held accountable, more than they've ever been held accountable before, Mark. Look, you make a pretty good point, but you get a scenario like that where a bloke gets knocked out. I mean, what about the scenario with Gary Ablett that does his shoulder? You know, should you be able to sub him out and sub someone in? I mean, there's always injuries and things like that. I think that, you know, you just have to – I think sometimes you just got to roll with the punches in the game, and sometimes fate takes its course.
I don't have the numbers, but I'm not convinced there's enough evidence to say if you go one man down that you can't win the game of footy and go on and get it done. Maybe if you're three down, but not if you're just one down. Yeah. Because of the rotations, you know, we're not up at 150 where we were for a period of time. We're down to that 90 number. I think it's still manageable. Obviously, if it's an important player, that's going to have an effect. But, yeah, I don't like that rule. If I was a player, I'd hate to be that sub. I didn't like the sub when it came in. You either get picked or you don't. And sometimes in footy, there are things outside of your control. You just have to deal with them.
Can you believe I've just pulled out Let's Crack a Deal for our caller, Mark. So maybe he's probably somewhere in between. Let's go to Adam in Stratton. G'day.
Hello, Carl and Paul. I'm happy to enjoy you and Paul's call of the football this year. And I'm glad that the West Coast Eagles have picked a small forward. What's your name? Langdon, yeah. I'm very happy to
hear. Hey, Adam, you know we don't work together on weekends calling the footy, so I don't know if you're making that up. It's Lee Spur and Glenn Jakovich that works with the great Carl Langdon. I work on a different station.
What I do know is that Adam is born to succeed, mate, and that is the horse that he has got in the big race. And he is an Eagles fan, as you know, as you were as a young boy. Who's your favourite Eagle, Adam, before we let you go?
My favourite Eagle is, Luke Shuey. Luke Shuey's very good from when Nick Knapp taps the ball. He just he runs out very good like
the Nat Ashui. You love that one, don't you? Knocks it down the throat, Ashui, and the Nat Ashui continues out of the middle of the ground. He drives the ball forward. That's how it goes, Adam. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
Thanks for your call, mate. Take care. Have a good weekend. Eddie joins us. G'day, Eddie.
Evening, Carl and Paul. Two questions. I heard on the radio that Telstra are possibly withdrawing sponsorship. Now, is that for the cricket? Now, how do we get on with Optus with our Eagles and Dockers playing at Optus Stadium? Is there any effect going to happen that way, or is it only for the cricket?
To be honest, mate, don't know. 100% hand on heart, would not have a clue when it comes to that sort of scenario. Look, I think that one thing that we can say is that if you have a look at Geelong, who was sponsored for a long time by Ford, and you've got the AFL that have been for a long time sponsored by Toyota, you've got these brands, these very strong brands, national brands that have always been able to coexist. So, mate, I wouldn't have thought that that would be a problem personally. So, yeah, I don't know necessarily that that is something that is going to influence what we get at Optus Stadium. I mean, is that the point you're trying to make, Eddie? Is that, you know, with Telstra's influence that we might not get
make
stuff
sure
at Optus?
Yeah, just to make sure that the Eagles and the Dockers still play at Optus.
Yeah, no, that will happen. That can't not happen because that's a deal that's central to the agreement that was done in establishing that ground when it was built. So you won't have our Eagles and Dockers moving away from the ground. And the deal that's been done to name Optus Stadium is a deal that's been done with our state government. So that's a completely separate deal from the individual sports that operate there, mate. Now, El Barado is your horse, number two in the Derby tomorrow. Good luck. Let's hope that you win. 922-882 if you'd like to join us. Jerry joins us. Hello, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you going? Listen, no name, no pack drill, just a hypothetical here. Let's say you re-signed a player, $600,000 a year for 5 years. He's got charges hanging over his head. Coming up to a court case, and he actually gets a jail sentence. What happened to that contract?
I'm not sure of the specifics when it comes to the law like that. That could essentially happen to Jordan Dugowie, who has some cases to answer as well. Look, if you were a smart club, you'd have something put in the contract in relation to that to suggest certain things that you wanted if it didn't go your way and that scenario did arise. Is that the way that you would see it, Jerry?
Yeah, I think you'd have to put, that's what I thought, you'd have to put something in the contract, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think it might even be already in the fine print in relation to breaking the law, bringing the club into disrepute, all those types of things are already written in, so the club is a little bit protected by some of those happenings.
Good on you, Jerry. Number 14, I've pulled out for you, Kenzan, ridden by Daniel Moore for the big race, the Derby tomorrow that's going to happen over there at Flemington. Let's go one quick call before we head to a break. Joe in Inglewood. G'day, Joe.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going? Look, just a quick one. I mean, Hawthorn's a very generous club with how they let players go, and I love that they do that. You know, we offer them 1 year, another club offers them three, and they go, and that's great. But I was a little bit concerned with Isaac. You know, he got offered two at Hawthorn. He's taken two at Geelong. And I just thought, gee, is he really chasing another premiership? He's got three of them. Would we really need him at Hawthorn? He might be able to really bring some of the younger guys on. So I thought that was disappointing, actually, that he left.
Look, they get a pretty good compensation pick for him, selection 42. I know it doesn't sound like much, but you could turn that into a 10-year player if you nail the selection. I don't begrudge players who at that stage of their career, when they have seen some of their older players forced out the door a little bit earlier, that they do take up and off with a team that they think can win a premiership. At the end of the day, that's why you play footy. And I think even at Hawthorn, he's been a good player, but to bring in another youngster, it's not the worst thing to fast-track their development going forward. They still have a number of wonderful leaders, don't they, Carl, that can play that leadership role?
Absolutely. Keep the calls coming. 922-882. There's a $100 voucher that will be won for the person that wins the Derby, and we're allocating horses. Redwood Shadow is yours, Joe. Good luck to you on Saturday. 922-882. Got a heap of calls. We'll get to those next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Just quickly before we jump back into the calls for CMC, a trade update. CMC Markets, award-winning platforms for over 30 years trading experience. Hayes, what do we got?
We missed it out before Aiden Corr got to North Melbourne from the Giants. Oleg Markov to the Gold Coast Suns. Didn't get much opportunity this year for the Tigers, so he goes to that club. And Jaden Stevenson, more whispers, Carl, around him and his future. Maybe not being at the Collingwood Football Club.
Yeah, and what we do know is that Zach Williams has gone to Carlton at Brisbane, Joe Danaher for pick 7. Isaac Smith has gone, which we spoke about a moment ago, to Geelong for pick 42 to the Hawks. And the very first deal that was done this morning, very early in fact, I reckon it was about 3:42 my time from memory. But anyway, Rory Atkins is an unrestricted free agent from the Crows to the Gold Coast, and they got pick 36 in return. Let's go to Norman Subi. G'day, Norm.
G'day, guys. How are you? Carl, good. I disagree with you about Jesse Hogan. And in fact, I think when the story of him being put up for trade comes out, the truth will be that he asked for a trade because he wants to get out of Perth, and I don't blame him if that's the case. He's going the way of Harley Bennell, and he's never going to get a moment's peace.
You know, so why do you disagree with me, though?
Well, you just said a moment ago, you said that they didn't do their due diligence or something.
No, Fremantle didn't.
It was a joke.
Because, yeah. No, Fremantle did not do their due diligence. And, I'll go back, and my colleague Paul Hazelby might want to back me up. He doesn't have to. But, look, I was privy to some information, and I was able to pass that information on to some very prominent and important people, and most of them are not down at Fremantle these days, to be perfectly honest, whereby I gave them some scenarios, some real scenarios, not some made-up scenarios around Jesse Hogan, Norm. And I essentially felt that, for me anyway, to knowing a few of these individuals that were operating at your club, the club that you barrack for, it was important to let them know. So I did. In the end, if Jesse Hogan ends up somewhere else, I think I'll be vindicated. I think that there's been some actions during the time here that I've already been vindicated. But anyway, Norm, your thoughts? What you don't think that you want him to stay? I mean, where are you at?
I'm just trying to say I don't think that I'm not lining you up. Everyone's saying it. You know,
no, you're allowed to. I don't care.
Well, I didn't say they aren't. Of course they're allowed to. That's fine. I'm just having my right to disagree with them. That's all. But
sure.
Like, for example, they're saying it hasn't worked out. Well, last year he was playing very well until he injured his foot. He was playing very, very well. Then when he came back, he couldn't get into the team because the young players were playing so well, and he did annoy Longmuir gleaned from statements, he was bugging him to get into the team, and he is a senior player. But one night, the AFL had their figures for the players covering the most metres in a game, and he was in the top three with Taberner and Brett Bewley, and he was playing in the forward line largely. He was clearly putting in. But, you know, I just feel that, I think, given his background, when he came here, we had big headlines, and relating to back in Melbourne. And I just feel that, given what he's come through, he probably realised that he's going to be in under such a spotlight, he's never going to get much peace. And I do think Harley Bennell was unfairly targeted on a number of occasions. Like when at Peel one day, he went on the ground and spoke to a young cousin who was playing in the game. Sorry to Mandra, but essentially a country game for me. And that was described as a bizarre act. They actually used the word bizarre.
Yeah,
you know, and
nice.
That's a misuse of the word, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When he
went onto the ground that day, mate, he was pissed. Okay? Trust me. I had mates sitting there, and I had a father of a Dockers player sitting there who rang me and told me, right? So, mate, you know, there's certain people you can protect and want to protect and you want to look after, but then you've got to look after yourself too. So, you know, what's really important here is that we have a situation whereby we look after those that have got some issues. I understand that different players and different people have different circumstances, and we need to look after people. I think mental health is something that's really strong on the agenda these days, but there are people that just don't necessarily toe the company in line.
And we want it to work, Carl, don't we, in the media? We want the Dockers to be successful. We want the Eagles to be successful with their picks and those players too, because we do have relationships with them. But you make your own bed, Norm, and I think I've been very pro-Jesse Hogan that the Fremantle Dockers should persist with him, but only they can decide on whether he's culturally the right fit, his attitude's right, and he's bringing enough to improve every day at that football club. Because you've got a new coach, a young coach that gets a chance, only one chance really when you come into a football club to set the standards that you want. And this is now the second club. So Melbourne getting rid of a star centre-half forward. You've got to ask questions about that. And now Fremantle wanting to get rid of a star centre-half forward when they've been chasing one since Matthew Pavlich left. You've got to ask the question, why is this happening? I think Jesse now has to take ownership. And I hope for his sake he goes to the Giants. He gets a bit of anonymity up there and he gets the best out of himself. And that's the end of the story. But he has to be the one to make that decision.
Number five I pulled out for you, Norm. It's the favourite for the derby too, young Werther. So good luck to you, mate. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Lisa in Allenbrook. G'day, Lise.
Hi, guys. Carl, I won that horse. That's not fair.
Well, you haven't got that one, Lise. I mean, it's a luck of the draw. So I'll do my best to pull you out a good one, Lise.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Carl, you were on the money right from the word go with Jesse Hogan. You kept telling the club, don't take him. And they took him. And I just get a little bit sick and tired of these players wanting to come home because they're homesick. It hasn't worked for Fremantle, has it? Jesse Hogan, Cam McCarthy. Cam McCarthy sat out for a whole year. And I think that's what wrecked his football. Sitting there,
yeah, but there's others though, like Reece Conker and Blake Akers and yeah, Roy Lobb and
look, not every
Wilson.
player is the same, but what we've also seen is some of the people that have made those decisions, Lisa, move on. So I think that's really important to identify. And look, when you have a look at the last, you know, couple of players that Fremantle have been able to pick up in the last couple of years when it comes to their drafting and recruiting, I'm always an advocate for going to the draft, but then you also need to bring in some experience that can fill an important hole for you. Now, Freo, unfortunately, when they've brought in some of these more mature age players, haven't necessarily been able to fill some of those holes and make sure that they have been players that are premium players. You know, Aish is an example. I mean, you know, he's not been as consistent as what I'd like. Reece Conker, I like. I think that he plays his role. Blake Akers, I'm not convinced on yet. But, you know, time will tell. You know, in 2 or 3 years' time, they've only been here for 5 minutes. So
and you don't want to overpay them, do you? I think that's the key. If you're going to get them back, you want them to fit your structure. And I think there's a few there at the Dockers that have come back on too big a money.
Yeah, and in 2 or 3 years' time, whether the Akers and the Aish deals work out, we'll wait and see. Good on you, Lise. I have pulled out for you, Lise, Johnny Get Angry. Now, you'll be pleased to know that the trainer of Johnny Get Angry is going to join us. It's actually Dennis Pagan, who coached North Melbourne. So Pags is going to join us before he goes to bed after the news at 7 o'clock. So stay tuned, Lisa. G'day, Pete.
How you going? Just a footnote. I want to talk about Cox, but the footnote to Hogan. The last two callers, part of the reason why he came home, one because of his cancer issue, and two because his father was dying. And to just say, like the lady just said, commented about him coming home because he was homesick, I don't think that's fair to Hogan. I'm quite happy for Hogan to go. Where he wants to go, as long as he plays good footy. That's what I look at. If he can get in back into the groove and play good footy, if it was a 3-0, great. But if it's at another club, well, so be it. Cox, I want to talk about Cox and Valenti. Do you think with the back line coming with Hamling and Pierce and so on, do you think Cox will go back forward and be the lead-up forward that he should be? And Valenti, where do you see him fitting possibly into the forward line? Just listen to your comments on that one, Carl.
No, I don't think he'll go into the forward line, Valenti. He needs to push into the midfield. That's where he played all his underage football in South Australia. So he's a good inside player. Unfortunately, there's a few of them ahead of him right now with Sarong and Brayshaw and Chera this year, all very good. Cox, absolutely. He's a chance to go forward. I'm not sure he's going to play his best footy forward because he was so good reading the play down back. It's tough, isn't it, Carl, to make it in the forward line? I think it's easier to play in the back line, but they're going to have options, and that's the beauty for Justin Longmuir next year, whether it's Pierce, whether it's Brennan Cox going forward. It's a good position to be in. I think as a player, it's also good to have those elements to your game.
Pete, Worth Meyer is the number. Worth Meyer is the name of the horse. Number 9 is the number. And Hugh Bowman in the saddle, a jockey that I admire. So good luck to you in the big race. Now, as we go to the phones, 922-1882, we head out to Martha. G'day, Maz.
In the fridge for you come Christmas time, Carl. Thanks for that voucher for New Hayes. I'll go get it. Can't remember back to that one. About Sean Marsh, mate. Wanted to talk on how great his innings was for WA though. Got him out at the Nymuir, as Dougie would say.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'll tell you what, right on cue, because in about 4 minutes, mate, we're going to head to Josh Inglis, who also joined him at the crease today, and I'm sure he'll sing his accolades. A really important innings that was today to get WA across to 302 runs, Muzza. But, yeah, wonderful effort. So we'll find a little bit more about that. For those that maybe have just tuned into Sports Day tonight, Sean Marsh is backed up on his previous match where he's been able to score another century for us today. And South Australia, 200. Victoria, no again for 38. And Queensland, 7 for 274. Manus Labuschagne also scoring a century in that match. For you, Muzza, I have picked out what is the number that I've got here. Just having a look. It is number 7. I can't even say that properly. Sheshwayo, maybe. Anthony, good evening.
G'day, Carl and Paul. Just reminding me, you've got Dennis Pagan coming on and the whispers of North Melbourne going to Tasmania. How would that affect all contracted players if the whole club had to shift, pull up stunts and go to Tasmania, and their ability to trade in players that they're going to be in Tasmania instead of Victoria?
Well, it won't happen yet. It's not likely to happen until 2020.
Well, it'll be a 5-year lead in, you would have thought.
What was being rumoured was 2024. I've heard 2026. So we're not talking about tomorrow. But what we are talking about is that North Melbourne, given that they're broke, essentially, the AFL has been funding them and will have to fund them now given the effects of COVID-19. Look, we'll ask Dennis Pagan. Let's not try and predict what he's going to say, but please stay tuned after 7 o'clock and hear what he's got to say, because he's been a very, very passionate man when it comes to his football club. And the horse that I've pulled out for you is Cherry Tortini. So right in the action too when it comes to winning the race for you, Anthony. Let's go to Shannon. G'day, Shannon.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
I'm just wondering if you guys have heard anything more about Brad Crouch going to St Kilda, and whether you think it's a good acquisition considering his soft tissue history. Cheers.
Well, it depends what they have to pay. If they don't have to pay anything for that sort of player, absolutely. It's a great get for St Kilda. So they're still working through that. The compensation is unknown. It's a fight between, obviously, after their first pick, which would be pick 2, or after the first round pick, which would take it to pick 19 or 20. So there's a bit to play out on this one. But if you could get a player of that calibre for free, yep, and not pay him too much, but it doesn't sound like they're paying him too much, Carl, and that's why it's not a fait accompli that the compensation will be pick 2.
All right, Jeff, you've got a quick one to get in, mate. What would you like to say?
Yeah, it looks like Zach Langdon is going to be traded to the Eagles. He looks a pretty good player. Do you think he could be used in the forward or maybe a midfield role?
I think it'll be forward. I think they want to bulk up that part of the oval, particularly with Willy Rioli unlikely to be there again next year. But he's going to have to earn his spot. He's no walk-up start. He wasn't getting too much opportunity for the Giants. The West Coast Eagles forward line, I believe, is better than the Giants. So it's good backup, and he'll be competing with guys like Archie and young Cameron for me.
All right. Tour of Duty is what I pulled out for Shannon, which I forgot to mention. And Wasaka is the number for Ben Mellum. He's in the saddle, so well done. Thank you for calling through to you, Jeff. And to Dan and Kinross, we need to clear a commitment. And you have the last horse in the race, which is... I'll have to work out. Token Spirit, number 11. So we'll come back in a moment and have a chat to Dennis Pagan next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. As we spoke about off the top, our WA cricket team reasonably well placed at the end of day one after accumulating 302. They were in real trouble early at five for not many, but Josh Inglis and Sean Marsh were two that put together a nice partnership. Welcome, Josh. How are you, mate?
I'm well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going really well, mate. When you came to the crease, we're in a world of pain at five for not many.
Yeah, obviously, we didn't start so well. I think we were 5 for 70 when I came in. I thought the Tassie blokes bowled really well on a wicket that offered quite a bit throughout the day. So to get where we are, 300, we'd probably have taken that from where we were at lunch.
Well, you got to thank Shawnee Marsh for that. 115 off 242 balls. He was very patient. He's done this many a time for Western Australia and Australia for that matter. But what a player he is.
He is, mate. He honestly seems to get better and better. It's staggering. I think Vogie said after the game he'd probably go down as one of his best hundreds he scored for WA just with the situation we were in and what he was able to do, able to dig us out of that hole and end up getting to a good first innings total. So, no, he batted beautifully.
And what about for you, mate? You must have been happy with your 51 on the back of a century to start the Sheffield Shield as well. You've come back in pretty good touch.
Yeah, it was nice, obviously, to get 50 today. It would have been nice to go on and get a big score and be there at the end of the day. But it is what it is. But yeah, happy to be scoring some runs and playing reasonably well at the minute. So long may it continue.
Nice to hit a big six as well. But caught Webster, bowled Siddle. If you had your time again, what would have you done differently?
Not sure. It was a pretty good ball, to be honest. Maybe I could have not gone as hard at it, but he's an excellent bowler. So it was one of those where I'll sort of cop on the chin and go again next week, next innings.
Just going back to that first match, Josh, where you finished 153 not out, Ash Agar 114 not out, which is a record for Western Australian cricket for the six-wicket partnership. Both undefeated, of course, in that innings, mate. What was it like? What did it feel like? I mean, what was the communication like? And, that's a very, very good day at the office.
Yeah, it was. It was actually lots of fun. I think me and Ash, we really spoke about just building a partnership and we just really invested in each other's innings, to be honest, and it sort of took the pressure off, so... no, we had a lot of fun out there, and with him being on 90 at the same time as I was in the 90s, so I hadn't scored a first class 100 by that stage. I was sort of just trying to get him through, which took my mind off me being in the 90s, which helped me a bit. So now, like I said, we were really invested in each other, and we're just trying to keep the partnership going for as long as possible to put us in a good position.
Jackson Bird was the bloke that did the early damage today, ended up with no more wickets as the day went on, 3 for 47. Was it doing a bit early, the ball? What were the conditions like when it comes to the pitch?
Yeah, it was doing a bit. It was actually quite green. We weren't sure what sort of wicket we were going to get. We sort of heard that it might be a bit drier, and we obviously needed to get a result out of the wicket the way it was last week. So we were expecting it to be quite dry and probably break up days 3 and 4 for the spinners, but that wasn't the case today. There was a bit longer grass on the wicket, so it did seam around, and the overhead conditions, it was quite cloudy and cold all day, so the ball swung around for most of the day, and the pitch did a fair bit too. So getting to 300 from the position we were in was an excellent achievement, really, and there's still a fair bit in the wicket for us, so... Hopefully we can bowl well tomorrow and take some scalps early. We'll be well on our way.
Fine, sunny and 37 over here, mate. Not a bad place to be playing cricket, but anyway, they're playing them in states at the moment where it gets washed out and cloudy and cold like your place. So Wakim and Silk, who opened the innings for Tasmania, ended up at the end of play today at no wicket for six. What, they just tried to survive, did they? I mean, how did the boys bowl, Gannon and Kelly, who bowled a couple of overs each?
Yeah, we only bowled four overs, so we obviously didn't get a big look at them. So it can be quite tough in those situations because bowlers want to try to take wickets and get a wicket before stumps. But no, they bowled well. They bowled well. We couldn't fault their effort at the end of the day. And as I said, hopefully we can start well tomorrow and get on a roll.
Now, mate, I want an honest answer here. How many blokes have hit your gloves harder than Lance Morris? Honest.
Not many. Maybe Mitchell Johnson.
Wow.
But he's a fair bowler. but yeah, Lancey is bowling very quickly at the minute, so I'm very excited to see him go again tomorrow. And Greeny as well, for that matter.
And Greeny, you're going to ask about him. You would have been impressed with the decision of the selectors to give him a go in the upcoming T20s and the one-day international squad. It sends the message, doesn't it? If you're young and you're in form, you're making runs, you get an opportunity. And you might not believe it right now, but I've got you pegged for the next keeper of Australia. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's exciting, mate. As you said, it's good that we're starting to see people that are putting runs on the board and knocking the door down. They're starting to get rewarded by the performance and they're getting opportunities for it. So, yeah, mate, I'm over the moon for Greeny. He's thoroughly deserved his call up in the side just for the work he's done, and his past couple of years has been outstanding. So it'll be exciting to see when he's back bowling fully as well. It's a scary thought.
And do you believe that you could be the next keeper?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to. Otherwise, why are you playing the game? Obviously, want to really looking forward to keep putting performances on the board and see where I can go. But just really focused on winning games for WA at the minute. I think we've got an exciting squad, so maybe this year's the year.
Ashton Turner doesn't get that opportunity at the moment. How's he going after being dropped for this game?
He's going all right, mate. Yeah, it's obviously tough. Probably when you're in this environment a bit more. There's 17 guys, so there's still the six guys not playing. So obviously it's going to be tough, but he'll take it well, mate. He's a very good player and he'll be back.
After the Sheffield Shield, mate, we turn our attention to the Big Bash. Jason Roy, Liam Livingston, are they going to be at the top of the order? Because I liked your partnership with Liam Livingston last year. Do you think that'll go ahead and maybe just hold your own there and kick them down?
Who knows, mate? It was a long time before then, but yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, it's great to have Livo back again. He was brilliant for us last year, and Jason Roy is just, well, his record speaks for itself. He's an excellent player, and we've seen how destructive he is at the top of the order for England. He's done it for countless years now. So to get him on our side is excellent. So it's going to be good fun in Orange this year.
Great to have you on the show, mate. All I know is there's going to be a lot of English influence at the top, given your background as well, mate. And it's great to have such talented players coming to play for our Perth Scorch. And let's hope we can have a few games at home, mate, so we do get some cricket here in WA. Take care, look after yourself, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers for having us.
Good stuff. Nice to have Josh Inglis on the program. So WA all out for 302. Tasmania at stumps on day one. No wicket for six. And then the other game, it is South Australia taking on Victoria. South Australia all out for 200 and Victoria in reply at stumps on day one. No wicket for 38. We'll come back after this and tell you what's coming up after the 7 o'clock news here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Nice to have Josh Inglis on the program. Now, after the news that's coming up next here on 6PA, we're going to have a chat to Dennis Pagan. Be great to have Dennis on the program. He's got a horse running in the Derby tomorrow over there in Victoria, so I'm sure he'll be really excited. Mike Ellis will join us. 30-year celebration since the Wildcats won their first championship back in 1990. Andrew Bensley with all of the tips, and we'll also have a chat to Jason Kendrick as the Speedway season gets underway. But it's time now for the 7 o'clock news. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company and a sports update as we kick off this second hour. You can turn your unpaid invoices into cash. You go to scottpack.com.au to do that. And it's nice to have Dennis Pagan on the program. Looking forward to the big Victoria Derby tomorrow. Welcome, Dennis. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, same here, Carl. All the best.
Now, mate, just take us back to when you got involved, once you stepped away from the AFL, how long it took you to turn your hand into a horse trainer?
Oh, look, Carl, I was always interested in it. It took a long while. It was just one day, Troy Corson's were coming back from northeast Victoria looking at some horses, and he said, you should give us a crack, get your licence. And he was at me, and I said, oh, look, it's ridiculous. I'm not going to Kyneton or Kilmore to train. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. I'll lease some or sublet some boxes to you, Flemington Stables. We'll get permission for you to train out of Flemington. They got that, and then it took 2 years to get a licence. And here I am today, and that was probably 2.5 years ago.
Wow. Now, mate, were you like Kevin Sheedy? Kevin Sheedy being a very prominent horse owner, and, mate, I was obviously playing for West Coast, and there was a few Bombers boys involved, and I reckon I was standing next to Mark Harvey one day, and he said, oh, my horse has just won, because the numbers used to come up on the old scoreboard when we were playing out at Windy Hill. Were you ever involved in horses back in those days?
I've been involved in horses for 30 years, Carl. Never looked at the scoreboard or anything. most of the horses I had, I could beat them. But anyway, after a long while, I decided to go in, and I've had a bit of luck since I've become a trainer. And, you know, I purchased 8 horses, and 7 of them fell by the wayside, and one's standing now, and he's in the Derby tomorrow.
You didn't have to look at the scoreboard, Dennis, because you're always winning by that much when you're coaching North Melbourne. Unbelievable time there. But you do have one tomorrow. Johnny, get angry. Tell us about this one. And how'd you come up with the name?
Well, I tell you what, Paulie was a little bit older than you. If you look back into the late 50s, early 60s, Joni Summer was a pop artist. And if you Google Johnny Get Angry, a song by Joni Summers, you'll come up with a tune. Something that sort of rung in my ears, and I thought, gee, that's a very catchy tune, and I like the name. So I decided to name it Johnny Get Angry.
And a big race tomorrow in the Victorian Derby. What are its chances?
Well, I tell you what, he was looking terrific 2 weeks ago. He hurt himself in the sand roll and cut a coronet band, and I thought, oh, that's all over. But after 4 or 5 days down at the beach and walking him, he came good, even though he was his preparation was interrupted for Moonee Valley last Saturday. He's had a very positive, I suppose you would say, 9 days, and he's starting to really bloom, and his coat's come out and all dappled, and I'm quietly confident he'll run the distance. If he can get first 5, I'll be over the moon, and I think to myself, of all the slow horses I've had, this might be one, but anyway, it is what it is. He's in good nick. He looks sensational, and I go there with just hoping that everything's going to be okay.
So third in the Vase behind Cherry Tortini, and when you look at this distance out to 2,500, no worries about that. And I see that you've added the blinkers for the race as well tomorrow.
Yeah, look, I've been waiting to do that. Just make him a fraction keener. Look, I got him genetically tested, his DNA. I sent it to Ireland, and they said it came back. They said that he's an out-and-out stayer, and he's going to be at his best for 2,400-plus. So I've got to take notice of that. And all I know is I'm confident that he'll run 2,500. The only thing I don't know is how fast he'll run it. So I've got my fingers crossed, and I just hope he's there when the whips are cracking. You know, he's at odds. But I tell you what, I've never seen anyone make runs in the grandstand, and I'm in there with a chance.
Well, speaking of the grandstand, Dennis, are you actually going to be allowed to go and stand in the grandstand? I mean, what are the rules now, given what's happened over there in Victoria?
It's pretty strict. As trainer, you go through temperature testing, and they're very strict with their allowing you in there. Trainers are allowed to go to the races, no owners or anything, and so... You'll go to the races tomorrow. You'll speak to your jockey, and then you'll sit by yourself 100 yards from everybody else. You watch the race. You'll commiserate if it loses, and celebrate with yourself if it wins. You'll get your colours, and you'll go home. You'll say thanks to the jockey and make sure the horse is okay, and take him back to the stables.
Count your money.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Hey, Dennis, do you own him all on your own?
Well, look, part of my license, Paul, is I have my wife and my daughter in my horses. I've got eight. Mm. They said, no, if you're going to get a license, you'll take your wife and your daughter out. So I've got eight horses. I own him by myself, 100%. I sublet him to Troy Corson Stables, his staff and everything. And if I go broke before Christmas, I'll go broke. But if I win a decent race, I'll be over the moon.
You mentioned before you've had some slow ones, seven slow ones, but also as an owner. What's been the highlight for you so far? I think Carl was alluding to Kevin Sheedy. I think that horse might have been Ballasprit, which was a pretty good one that he owned. What's your highlight so far, Dennis?
Johnny Get Angry, get to the Derby tomorrow. I reckon I've had one winner over 30 years. It's a tough caper. And, you know, when I went into this, I bought seven or eight horses. For whatever reason, they've fallen by the wayside, immaturity, shin stall, you know, just went up to the mark. And I've got one standing, and that's Johnny Get Angry, and we just hope he puts his best foot forward tomorrow.
What do you enjoy more, working with horses or footy players? I guess they probably don't give you a bit of cheek like Wayne Carey might have.
No, you're 100% right there. They don't answer back. They don't go to nightclubs. They don't get on the drink. But I tell you what, they've both got their parallels and similarities. Everyone thinks you're a moron over 50 years of age in Australia if you coach football teams. I don't have to worry about anybody else coaching my own horses, and I'm responsible to myself. And if they do well, terrific. If they don't, no one can tell me I'm a moron, and I just enjoy the moment.
Pags, what's a typical day look like for you now then?
Well, I get up at 3:30, jump into the shower, wake myself up, usually make a cup of coffee, into my car at 10 to 4, down at the stables at 5 to 4, walk out to the middle at Flemington, check on my horses, they're all okay, watch them do some work. Home at 8:30, there's a terrific camaraderie in the tower at Flemington, and I pinch myself and I think, gee, it's a good country, Australia. We're never going back to the old country, and I really enjoy every moment.
What about footy, Dennis? Do you get a chance to watch any footy in North Melbourne at the moment, searching for another coach? You've been the best coach they've ever had, in my opinion, and who do you think they should go for? Is there anyone or any age bracket you think they should target?
Yeah, look, I was a bit keen for Ross Lyon. I think they need an experienced coach, but he's not in the hunt. I think Mark Williams would be a good fit. I think if they get a young coach, he'll be chewed up. It's got to be some tough times ahead for the Kangaroos. I think Mark Williams might be an ideal coach. But look, I haven't got any idea. I know they've got a huge list that they're looking at, and best of luck. I hope they find the right sort of person to coach the Kangaroos, because, you know, I think there's some pretty bleak times ahead, and if they got back-to-back wooden spoons, I wouldn't be surprised. So it's the first time the Kangaroos have ever bottomed out. I hope they get it right, and the people who are making the decisions, because they haven't been successful in the past. I just hope that the people who are picking the coaches make sure they get it right, and the Kangaroos too unique of a football club. They'll be down the bottom for too long. I'd hate them to be pushed off to Tasmania or something like that. And there are so many good people and so many great people behind the club. I just hope they get it right. And if I could do anything to help, I certainly would.
So with the talk about Tassie, I mean, there's really strong push from a few of the journos over there in Melbourne this week. Caroline Wilson pretty much started this, and she's always pretty well informed, I reckon, from the hierarchy over there, that this was something that was in the pipeline sooner rather than later, that North Melbourne were going to get shipped off, and that the AFL has their fingers all over the appointment of a new coach, because essentially they're going to be paying.
Well, you hear that sort of stuff, Carl, and Caro seems to be on the mark. North Melbourne Board always had their backs against the wall, and sure, they've had their moments where they've been successful, but they've always had strong people behind them and really stalwarts ready to support the club. I don't think people realise what a unique organisation the North Melbourne Football Club is. It's one of those unique football clubs in Australia, and you could perhaps have a South Fremantle and a Port Adelaide in South Australia, and you know, in Victoria, Collingwood. But North Melbourne, not because of their success, but because of their ability to stick and fight over a long period of time. And, you know, I hear so many stories, and my father-in-law, who's passed away now, is a wonderful North Melbourne supporter. You hear stories about, you know, people working at the slaughter yards in the 40s and early 50s, walking to the ground at 12:30, having a few beers at Hutterman's Hotel in Macaulay Road, which is not far from the ground, getting to the ground, taking their boots off, getting socks put in them, and playing. There were so many tough footballers who played for North Melbourne and real fighters. And, OK, you think back to 1925 when Johnny Lewis kicked the goal after the siren to win their first game, and you think to 1950 when they played in their first grand final. It's got such an illustrious history, not always because of success, because of always their ability to stick together. I'd hate to see someone at the AFL ship them off to Tasmania. But on a whim, I saw what happened to Fitzroy as a young boy. I lived in Carlton, which was 100, 200 yards from the Fitzroy ground, and the way they were pushed off. I just hope there's enough strength in the people who run the club, stand up to the AFL, and don't allow them to be pushed aside, because I can tell you their history is littered with tough times and success, and there's not, in my opinion, there's no better football club to be involved with than the Kangaroos, and that Shimbada spirit I hope shines through and pushes people back on their backside, or anyone who's trying to force them into state.
Well said. Now, a lot of people in the media talk about Malthouse's disciples and Alistair Clarkson's disciples, but what about your progeny? You've got some good ones now in the AFL. You must have a sense of pride about Peter Bowe and Glenn Archer and Adam Simpson and John Blakey and also Brady Rawlings that's working at the football club now. How do you reflect on that time with those players?
Oh, look, it's terrific to be involved in, to have any sort of involved with those guys. A lot of wonderful people come out of the Kangaroos, and the Kangaroos' greatest asset were the people who work there. You mentioned a few there, Paul. I can tell you there's probably 10 or 15 more names I could mention that were great individuals and very successful people that have gone on with it. And those people could sing the praises of the Kangaroos. And until you be there, that you understand what the Kangaroos are all about. It's a unique identity football club, and it's pretty special. I hope the people at the AFL who make decisions understand that, because, you know, unless you're involved there and being part of the Shimbada spirit, you just don't know what it's all about. The people, and as I said, the greatest asset any organisation can have are the people who work there. In North Melbourne, have had no better people anywhere in any sporting organisation than the Kangaroos have.
Well, there was no greater shin boner with spirit than Glenn Archer, mate, and he's going to be part of picking the new coach, and you know he doesn't lie down easy, mate. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. We've got to get moving because we've got some commercials that we need to get to, Dennis, but really hope that you do reign supreme tomorrow, mate. So look forward to watching the Victoria Derby out west, mate. Take care, look after yourself, and hopefully we'll have a chat to you in the future.
Good on you, Carl. Thanks for having me on, and all the best, Paul. See you later, guys. Bye.
Good on you. Dennis Pagan here on Sports Day. And don't forget, finance that keeps your business moving. You can turn unpaid invoices into cash or access funding to build your fleet. scottpack.com.au for all the details. Mike Ellis will join us next. Now, here is a blast from the past. They are celebrating this year 30 years since they won their very first championship at the Perth Wildcats. Mike Ellis to join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Giant performance of the day back in the day for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Was our Perth Wildcats and their first championship in 1990, celebrating 30 years on. Mike Ellis joins us. How are you, Mike? Nice to talk to you, mate.
You too, buddy. Very nice to be on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, now, things have changed a hell of a lot in the last 30 years, but I tell you what, one thing that can't be taken away is our memories of those days back in the 90s, and whilst you were strutting your stuff on the basketball court, we were strutting our stuff on the football field, and it was sensational seeing what you blokes were able to achieve. How's it feel now, 30 years on?
Old. I look at some of those photos and go, geez, I actually did have dark hair back then. I suppose it could be worse. I could have none, but, you know, I'm still all right. So, look, it was fantastic, you know, looking at that. And of course, with the Cats bringing it up and celebrating it for the 30th year, has just brought all those memories flooding back in. And, it's fantastic, very nostalgic.
Are you in talks for a documentary like The Last Dance, Michael Jordan style, maybe the first dance for the Perth Wildcats? Such a good team it was.
Mate, I'd be happy, Hayes, just to get the feed that the cameraman got for that one. I'd be very happy with that. I know they just re-ran, apparently, on Facebook the other day, or yesterday, I think it was. They re-ran the grand final, so that was pretty good. I think you can get it on YouTube these days. It's unreal, not like the old reel-to-reel that we used to have to deal with back in our day.
What about a lot of those guys? Do you still get a chance to catch up with them? We're just having a look at the list now. Some famous names of the Perth Wildcats, but you must have had a few reunions over the time.
Yeah, we have. We had one about 5 years ago. The Cats did a 30th anniversary for the whole club, which was somewhere around there. It was actually a bit more than that, I think. But we had one, and we got quite a number of the guys back. So they what they did is they got the very first, like the 82 team, back. So we saw all those guys. But a number of the guys were here from the 90 team. So we really got a chance to catch up then. And it's fantastic. And when you get back together, it's just like you were together back then. It really was. The memories come flooding in, and then you start talking a whole pile of rubbish. As both of you know, when you get together with the old fellas, it starts flowing pretty rapidly, I must admit.
And, mate, a few of the names in there are obviously Trevor Torrance. We've got Tiny Pinder, of course. Brett, your brother, Brett, who also played in that championship-winning team. And, of course, he joined you the following year in 1991. I mean, it must be nice to have a bloke that you've grown up with playing alongside you and achieving what you were able to achieve during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were some great players back there, and you know, with anything you do, it doesn't matter what it is, the first one is always the best, pretty much. So to do it with certainly my brother, and it was great to do that, and him be a part of that. But the rest of the guys, you know, it's a bond, as you would well know, you win the first championship with the Eagles, mate. The bond that you have with those players, you never lose that. For the rest of your life, it's something that is always there and very special. So, you know, as I said, lots of great memories when you start talking to some of those guys. And you know, the older we get, the better we were.
Tell us a bit about the scenes. Now, I always hope to come back to Fremantle, the Cappuccino Strip, and have hundreds of thousands of fans down there. I didn't get that chance, but what was it like for you guys when you won that championship to come back to Perth and really celebrate with all of your fans?
Hey, you know what's interesting about that is we didn't realise until we kind of look back on it now the impact that we actually had on the sporting scene in Perth and on the fans, because you just don't recognise it when you're in the moment. But when we came back, we played the game on the Sunday afternoon and flew back into Perth that night. And when we got into the airport, we stopped on the plane, on the tarmac, and they came in and said, look, we need to put everybody on a bus and take you around the back to a stage because we actually can't get you through the terminal, because the terminal was so full of people. It was just phenomenal. And then we went around there, got off the bus, spoke to a number of people out there, you know, thousands of them at the airport, which surprised the hell out of us. And then we jumped on the bus and took off. And, you know, Brearley Ave from the airport all the way to Great Eastern Highway, that was lined like three or four deep all the way along there as we drove the bus through, people cheering and yelling and banging on the bus and screaming. And, you know, we got back out on the Great Eastern Highway and kind of looked back and went, was that for us? Was that really for us? That's just surreal, you know. And it was the first thing. And then, of course, you have the, the tour through the city, back into Forest Chase, and, you know, scenes of thousands and thousands of people there, probably 8,000 or 10,000 people in Forest Chase, just cheering and yelling and getting the key to the city from the mayor and all that. It's stuff that is kind of fairy tales are made of. And, you know, you look back at it now and go, yeah, that was pretty special.
I'll tell you what's even more special is when you get your number retired by both the Wildcats and your junior association, the Stirling Senators. Eh?
Yeah, that's, well, you know, that's what happens when you're around for a long time, Carl, see?
Yeah.
They well, can't use it anymore. You've worn it
but
out.
But it's a nice accolade, isn't it? I mean, look, these days we've had numbers retired for small periods in other codes, yet they've eventually brought them back out and passed them on to other great players. But to have that retired and to actually have that accolade bestowed upon you, I'm sure you'd be, you know, really rapt with that taking place.
Oh, very much so. You know, I was the first living player to have my singlet retired, first one for the club. Clearly, the first singlet that was retired for the Cats was after Scott Fenton was killed in a car accident. So he had his retired, but I was the first, I suppose, living player to have it done. And you know, it's never something that you think about or ask for or want, but when it happens, you sort of, it takes you aback and you think, yeah, that's pretty special. I'm still pretty proud about that. And, you know, it just shows that there was a bit of respect both ways.
Well, you set the foundations all that time ago and the Wildcats have been so successful ever since. How do you think they're going to get through this next period? And today the announcement of the NBL One West competition. Is this a good idea? Do you like it? It replaces the old SBL. Would it make any difference?
Yeah, look, I think it's good. I think, firstly, the Cats will do very well this year, you know, depending on what happens with borders and all that sort of stuff. With any luck, we might be able to get a home and away series going for the NBL, which would be great. But the NBL One, which is basically taking over the SBL competition, that's the next level down, I suppose, just a WAFL equivalent in the football. And, you know, I think it's a great thing because what that means is all those games are going to be televised around the country. So all the games that we play over here, and that means that there's exposure for players, and we've got some very good players in that competition. They get good exposure across the country, and it gives them, you know, especially some of those young guys, the opportunity to be seen by other NBL clubs and with a bit of luck be able to make that next step up. So, yeah, look, I think it's a really good thing that the competition is going to that, and it makes it a national competition. And the other part of it, too, Hayes, is that what we finish with is the winning team here actually goes and plays in a national tournament with all the other winners from the other states. So it's basically, you know, the state competition becoming a national champion in the end.
Great to chat, mate. Thank you very, very much for your time tonight. Take care, look after yourself, and we'll have a chat to you in the future, Mike. Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Mike Ellis here on Sports Day, and what a giant performance it was. Thanks to Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you, winning that first championship back in 1990. We'll clear a commitment. On the other side, we will come back and get your pens and pads ready, because if you like a little flutter on the weekend, Andrew Bensley, racing expert, will join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into our racing update. I told you to get your pens ready, everyone. The Iron Jack Golden Eagle, 31st of October, Rose Hill Gardens. That is tomorrow. Let's start there, Benz, as we welcome in Andrew Bensley. He is Benz, everybody, and he joins us now. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, guys. Really looking forward to this weekend of racing. Race worth $7.5 million. The only ordinary thing about it is the weather. It's really going to rain in Sydney overnight and tomorrow, and it's already heavy. So we've really got to look for horses that are capable of handling and getting through the heavy going. I'm going to mention a horse from Victoria called Sierra Sue, trained by Trent Busseton and Natalie Young. Trent's got the art of sending horses to Sydney, and they normally run well. The horse is coming off winning at Flemington on a good three, but Trent Busseton has had this race in mind and really thinking that the wet track won't be an issue. I just loved its last win, the way it was strong to the line. So I'm going to tip Sierra Sue, but certainly horses that can handle the heavy going, guys, is where our listeners need to go. Even a type like Brandenburg that hasn't won for a little while, been running in really good group races, but it's group placed in a Doncaster earlier this year on a heavy track at Randwick. So it might be another one that I think can improve because of the wet ground tomorrow.
Benz, you're talking about the Golden Eagle. What about Alligator Blood? It's drawn wide, and I guess on that sort of surface, yeah, it's a bit of an unknown, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the barrier draws may not be too bad for those who, if you do like something drawn off the track, because I think by the time we get to the second last race tomorrow, these horses are going to be well off the inside rail. See, I spoke with David Van Dyke a couple of hours ago, and he was still unsure whether this horse will actually handle the heavy going. He's really happy with the preparation, third up at 1,500 metres off the Silver Eagle run, but still a question mark for mine whether it absolutely will enjoy this surface tomorrow.
I suppose you could say the same thing about our West Aussie horses, Superstorm and Windstorm. It's a bit of an unknown as well.
It is. Look, and that's why I've mentioned a couple of horses that will relish it. Even a horse from New Zealand called Riadini for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. New Zealanders normally do like the wet tracks, and this is one that's coming off two really nice runs of late, and it's another one that will lead it up tomorrow, that heavy going. So, you know, I think for those that wake up tomorrow morning in WA, you'll know the track rating is definitely going to be heavy, and you need to look for horses that will appreciate it. So there's two or three that I think can run well on that surface tomorrow.
Righto. Well, I'm gonna throw Colette at you because I reckon Colette, mate, on the heavy, two from two. It is the 100 Raider. It's $6 on Tap Touch, which is where we can have a punt over here, Ben's. Good each way bet at $6.225. So that's the way I'm going to be asking our audience to take a look at that big race.
Yeah, and a great opportunity because we've got three or four of Sydney's best riding in Melbourne. A great opportunity for Kobe Jennings getting on that horse tomorrow. And I note over this part of the world, the market has tightened up on it. So you're right. I stress for the listeners, look for the horses on the form guide that have handled the heavy going.
Funstar's another one who's the $5 favourite. Now, Benz, let's turn our attention to Melbourne, where we've got a whole heap of group races. In fact, every race is a group race, and there is a whole heap of group ones, and they start in race number five tomorrow at Flemington, and race five, the Empire Rose. What do you like?
I like Mystic Journey. I think it's pretty hard to go past the favourite. She won at Moonee Valley at a last run for Adam Trinder out of Tassie, obviously, and she's travelled over via the Spirit of Tasmania last night. She is ready to go. Listening to Adam, the horse, in her first couple of runs in the Melbourne early part of the spring, they were really unsure just off that how she was going. They took her back to Tassie, they freshened her up, and she came and won at the Valley, and they've done something similar going into this race tomorrow. I will say that Natoya, for Wendy Roach, the mare who eats pizzas, drinks beer, drinks champagne after her runs, I reckon a run in the Cox Plate last Saturday wasn't too bad. And she's coming off a huge Group 1 into a race like this of lesser grade, although it is Group 1. So Mystic Journey and Natoya are the two that I want to mention in the Empire Rose.
Next race, race six, is the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Wild Ruler, you've got down the page. Swat's That and September Run have all won their last two. And a horse right up the top, equal top weight, of course, in Weight for Age Racing, 57 kilos in Farnan, who is very, very well in the market.
Yeah, look, and I will say, you know, Glenn Boss, he's got a couple of really strong chances tomorrow off winning the Cox Plate on Sir Dragonay. And look, he's very upbeat about Farnan, and he rode it in a trial back at Gosford about a month ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he got off and he won the trial decisively, and he said, gee, this horse is going to be hard to beat if we get the right ground, which the horse is going to get here in Melbourne. It's fine, a bit cool, but they're watering the track tonight, so that tells us that Flemington's going to be A1 tomorrow. Look, Peter Mooney has Glenn Fittick. The horses had a bit of gap between races. It had to have a minor operation for a throat. I stress minor. Peter wanted to give the horse a gallop just over a week ago to make sure that everything was good. It did that nicely. It had another one on Tuesday, and it's going to be sitting up on the pace with Farnan. I think both of those horses can run really well tomorrow. It's a good group of three-year-olds, though. You know, you look at the interstaters, you look at the horses that Kiramar and David Eustace have got. It's a look, as it should be, a strong group one. But for mine, I'm going to mention Glenn Fittick and Farnan in that race tomorrow.
Okay, speaking of three-year-olds, we've got the Victorian Derby. Earlier this hour, we had a chat to Dennis Pagan, who trains Johnny Get Angry. He's hopeful that his horse can at least finish in the first four, but Cherry Tortini and Young Werther, who was scratched last weekend, head the market.
Yeah, isn't it a great story with Dennis? I texted him a few times in the last couple of weeks, and he laughingly said to me the other day, he's getting more press as a trainer than what he was as a coach. He's really been up and about with people wanting to interview him about Johnny Get Angry. I've got it in my top four because I think that it really runs at Flemington. I think that we've seen it earlier this year run really well at Flemington without winning. A lot of horses in the Derby always start to feel the pinch at about the 200 or 300 metre mark. And I reckon Angry is going to be the one of those horses that's finishing off really nicely. I think another one of those is a horse called Hit the Shot for Matt Kumani. I think that the Kumani name, Father Luca, won a couple of derbies as a trainer in England. I think that this horse in the Norman Robinson was really good to the line. So I'm six Hit the Shot. I'm going Johnny Be Angry. Very hard to ignore Cherry Tortoni. And what do you do with Young Werther? Only its third start in a derby, guys. You just feel that, geez, it had the right preparation. You can't underestimate Danny O'Brien. You've got to include it. But I just think those harder, fitter horses might just be too strong for it late tomorrow.
All right. The last of the group ones comes up in race number eight. Do you see Mr. Quickie going back to back and the lightweights in the Buffalo River, who's a leader, get the chocolates this time after a couple of seconds? Got a really good record at this track. One from one.
Yeah, I think Buffalo River's hard to beat here, Carl. I just think that it's going to be up there somewhere down in the weights. The way that it's trained on talking with Mike Moroney in the stable, I think that it gets the big group one tomorrow. I think another one down the bottom, Nonconformist, for Graham Begg. I think that this horse is, he thinks this one can develop into a wait for age horse, whether it's the autumn or whether it's the spring of next year. But down in the weights, gets it racing off its recent run. So, look, it's King's Legacy is another one that I'd like to mention for Bossy. You know, it's down in the weights again. I think that you've got to look that way. It's a big group one, but Buffalo River, Nonconformist and King's Legacy are the three that I'll put out to our listeners tonight.
Brilliant, Benz. You're a star. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Take care and enjoy your weekend.
No, we will. I'm hoping Ash Run wins the Hotham tomorrow because I backed it to win the Melbourne Cup. So maybe it's the Andreas Weller magic tomorrow. But I'll leave you with one, Carl. The best bet of the day, race three, number five, Blaze Jowski. First up form, tremendous for Greg Urell. So that's the best bet, race three, number five.
Good on you, Benz. Race three, number five at Flemington, of course, and Karen McAvoy is in the saddle there. The Iron Jack Golden Eagle, everyone. Tomorrow, you can watch it live on Racing New South Wales website and the mobile app. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll be joined here on Sports Day by Jason Kendrick. We've got Speedway action underway tomorrow night here at the Perth Motorplex. Jason next. Welcome back to Sports Day and the start of the Speedway season. Thankfully, it's going to get underway and it's a power palooza where we've got drag racing, Speedway and burnouts all happening on the same night. This bloke doesn't mind doing burnouts after he's won a Speedway race with his sprint car, Hayes, but normally I can't get him in there chewing on rubber. Welcome, Jace. How are you going, mate? Nice to talk to you. Jason Kendrick I'm referring to. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on the show, mate. Now, how are preparations going? How's your car looking for the opening night tomorrow night?
Yeah, we had a slightly longer off-season than normal, so we have plenty of time to sort of get everything, all our ducks in a row and basically get everything to a point where we're starting fresh. So it should be a good season. We've changed a few things in the off-season, car-wise and setup-wise, and we've had a few test nights, so I think in those test nights we've found a few items that that have improved car balance, probably better than we were last year. So I think we're starting from a good point.
Now, what are these little things that you're referring to the layman out there who might be tuned in tonight that's going to be getting down there to see you blokes burst into action?
So just some things, some geometry points in the car. So just changing the way the suspension works so without going into too much detail, it's basically changing the way the suspension works.
It's all right. I know that you've got a team and you're not going to give anything away. That's cool, because there'll be a few others tuned in, like we've seen from the Cricky Motorsport team. Now, mate, they have a gun for hire, Dane Kingshot, a bloke that's made his name as a national speed car champion. And, mate, we know he drives fast. We've seen him in various divisions in more recent times, but he gets a good opportunity to really rub shoulders with you blokes this time.
Yeah, definitely. The Cricky outfit, they're you know, one of the best teams in Australia, and for them to give a guy like Dane a crack at racing sprint cars is great for racing in this day, as well as them staying home. So, I'm looking forward to racing with anyone, really. So it's great to race against Dane. He's a pretty established speed car driver. So to have him join the ranks of the sprint cars is awesome.
27 sprint cars, 22 late models. There's going to be 17 speed cars, so it's going to be great to see all of those teams there for the opening night. So over 70 speedway teams, including some two-wheel action with the solos, also going to be there on Saturday night. And prior to that, we've got the drag racing, which gets underway from 3:30. Burnouts are at 6 o'clock. The speedway, everyone, for those of you that are a purist, starts at 6 o'clock for qualifying, and the main show starts at 7 p.m. It's good to see that the night will finish off with Purus Speedway, and mate, with 27 teams there, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, definitely. It's I'm really looking forward to it. The more cars we have down there, the better it is. It generates such a great atmosphere when you have more cars. So, and plus, at the end of the night, when you win a race and you've beaten that many more people, it's all that much sweeter.
Mate, when it comes to getting prepared, you already said that you've been delayed and probably haven't been able to prepare as you'd like, but it's great that fans are going to be allowed into the Motorplex for the big night that's going to happen tomorrow night. What has been probably the hardest thing to get to this point to prepare for the night tomorrow?
To be honest with you, we probably haven't been impacted that much. The only thing that we really got impacted on was the last race last year where it got cancelled, but aside from that, it's been pretty straightforward for us. So it's just been that slightly longer off season.
Yeah, and so have you had a break? Did you go away anywhere in WA, or have you been working like the rest of us?
No, I've been working, but got away with my partner. We went to Broome and up to Carrageenie, so it was. Probably something that if the borders closures didn't happen, we probably never would have got there. And it was a pretty good experience to see some pretty epic sights up there.
Yeah, we in Western Australia, really, mate, with the difference between the deep south and the far north, and then some of that wonderful country that we've got in between. So thanks very much for having a chat to us tonight, mate, and I'll see you down there tomorrow night.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having us.
Good on you. Jason Kendrick, he is a star when it comes to speedway. He drives fast with no fear. Trust me. Come down, take a look tomorrow and enjoy the action. We'll come back after this and tell you what is ahead here on 6PR after the break. Great to have your company here on Sports Day. That's all we've got time for. And after the news that's coming up next, it'll be Chris Ilsley here for another edition of Perth Tonight. And don't forget, Melbourne Cup Eve. We'll see you again on Monday.